Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our results presentation for the 9 months of 2018. This is Abel Arbat speaking from the Capital Markets team. We have now completed a full quarter since the launch of the strategic plan. As we anticipated, we've tried to continue improving how we present our results, and we hope that the new and more comprehensive report published this morning is going in the right direction to increase transparency and make your life easier in following the company. During the third quarter, the cost reallocation process into the business segments has continued to evolve, and as a result, there have been additional changes in the restated financials, which you will find in the financial report published this morning. By way of agenda, the results will be presented by our Capital Markets Director, Steven Fernandez, together with our Controlling Director, John Ganuza, and our CFO, Carlos Álvarez. At the end of the presentation, we will open it up for Q&A, changing the format to live Q&A, where you will be able to ask your questions directly through the call. And with further addition, I will hand it over to Steven.
Thank you, Abel. Hello, everyone. We're going to start off with a quick overview of the results and the key highlights for the 9 months of 2018. EBITDA in the period reached almost 3 billion euros after non-recurring effects. Stripping these out, recurrent EBITDA reached 3.2 billion euros in the first 9 months, equivalent to a 10% growth versus 2017, which is a testament of robust recurring activity, which was up almost 500 million euros in the period, offset by an adverse FX scenario with a negative impact of 182 million euros at the EBITDA level. As we will review later on in detail, the gas and power business unit experienced strong performance while the infrastructure businesses remained relatively stable and impacted by the FX depreciation in the period, namely in Argentina, where accounts have been restated according to hyperinflationary economies criteria. Net income amounted to a negative 3 billion euros, mainly as a result of the 4.9 billion euro asset write-down conducted in the first half of the year. Excluding this impact and other non-recurrent items, the recurring net income rose 38% to almost 900 million euros, driven by higher activity, lower depreciation, and lower financial expenses resulting from the group's debt optimization. Naturgy has invested 1.6 billion euros in the period, of which more than 70% has been deployed in growing the company's asset base in the development of new renewal capacity, the addition of two new LNG tankers, and other revenue-generating projects. Finally, Naturgy will be distributing the second interim dividend of the year, a cash payment of 45 cents per share due on the 27th of November, thus setting the pace for the minimum committed dividend of 1.3 euros per share against 2018 earnings. In this sense, the company reiterates its full commitment to the shareholder remuneration targets established in its strategic plan. Now, if we move on, and as anticipated, the results have been affected by a number of non-recurrent items, negative on the 9 months of 2018 and positive on the same period of 2017. In particular, the 9 months of 2018 have been affected by 272 million euros of non-recurrent items at the EBITDA level, the bulk of which corresponds to the increase in the cost of gas procurement in Argentina, amounting to 116 million euros, linked to the devaluation of the local currency, which has not been passed through to final tariffs. In this sense, the Argentinian government has announced distributors should not bear the consequences of gas price deviations linked to FX, and although it has yet to clarify how this will be implemented. Until such a time, Naturgy has adopted a prudent and transparent approach and will maintain such contingent liability in its consolidated accounts. Other non-recurring items include the restructuring costs of 78 million euros incurred in the period, of which 54 million euros were provisioned in the third quarter as part of the new efficiency plan, as well as other non-recurrent items as already described in the first half of the year. Similarly, although inherent to our activities, performance has also been negatively impacted by the depreciation of the various currencies during the period, which has led to an impact of 182 million euros at the EBITDA level compared to last year. So in summary, the 9 months of 2018 have been impacted by non-recurring items and FX. So if we move on and we make a little point on where are we in terms of the value creation strategy and the four pillars of that strategy announcing the strategic plan. In this sense, the company has made good progress during the third quarter of the year, which I remind you is the first quarter since the presentation of the new strategy plan 2018 to 2022. In terms of simplicity and accountability, Naturgy is reducing the number of subsidiaries. In addition, the company has already replaced most of its subsidiary board directors by joint administrators and scaled down support functions at the corporate level and reallocated some of these based on strict functional needs into each of the business units. In terms of optimization, the company has completed the agreement to renew and extend its gas procurement contract with Sonatrach up to 2030 under improved terms. In addition, the company has also launched its new efficiency plan and incurred on the aforementioned capture costs in the quarter, which will yield recurrent savings going forward. Furthermore, the newly created OPEX and CAPEX committees, which have already analyzed over 350 OPEX and CAPEX programs during the quarter, ensure the successful execution of the company's efficiency plan, as well as compliance with the capital discipline and golden rules of investment established in said plan. In addition, Naturgy has started to progress on its capital structure optimization, and during the third quarter, it has amortized all of its bank-funded corporate debt, amounting to approximately 1.6 billion euros, and completed a 314 million euro bond repurchase at the parent level, while refinanced and issued new debt in Chile and Brazil, consistent with its financing strategy of reducing debt at the corporate level and maximizing financing into the business units. In terms of capital discipline and consistent with the company's targeted growth in renewables, as you know, the company has been awarded a 180-megawatt wind farm project in Australia, which will contribute an EBITDA of around 22 million euros once fully operational. Now, it's important to highlight that this project fully complies with the investment and profitability criteria established by the company in its strategic plan. It allows the company to reinforce its presence in stable economies. It increases the predictability of its cash flows moving forward. It raises its exposure to renewable energy sources as well. In addition, Naturgy has continued to make steady progress in the development of the wind and solar projects awarded last year in the Spanish auctions. Finally, in terms of shareholder remuneration, we would like to highlight the approval of the new long-term incentive plan, which is based on total shareholders' return and hence fully aligns managers with shareholders' interests. The company has also approved the second interim dividend of 45 cents, which again will be payable on the 27th of November, and that sets us on track to accomplish a 1.3 euro per share dividend against 2018 earnings. In this sense, it's important to highlight that we are fully committed to the shareholder remuneration targets established in the 2018 to 2022 strategic plan. Now let's move on to the evolution of our operating activities and consolidated EBITDA in the first 9 months. So, as you know, we have published a bridge in terms of EBITDA and profit, and we're going to be focusing on that bridge at this point. Note that we have excluded the non-recurring items explained earlier to reflect the evolution of our operations on a recurrent basis, both for EBITDA and net profit. If we take the above into account, recurrent EBITDA is up 10% in the period, mainly supported by the improvement in the gas and power business units. And as we will see in the next few comments, our infrastructure businesses have also been affected by the negative evolution of exchange rates with a negative impact, as we mentioned, of around 182 million euros. Finally, it's worth noting that in relation to the increase in the cost of gas procurement in Argentina, which again accounts for 116 million euros and is linked to the devaluation of the local currency, the Argentinian government has announced that distributors again will not bear the consequences of gas price deviations linked to FX, although we're waiting to see how this measure will be finally applied. And until such a time, we will continue adopting a prudent and transparent approach in the results. If we move over to analyze the net income for the first 9 months of the year, again, excluding the non-recurring items, the net income increases by 38% during the period to 877 million euros, supported by the recurrent activity growth, lower depreciation, and also lower financial expenses resulting from the group's debt optimization. Finally, if we move on to the cash flow and to the net debt, we have generated an operating cash flow of around 1.9 billion euros, which is around 17%, that's 17% higher than in the last 9 months of 2017. Cash investments amounted to slightly less than 1.2 billion, mainly as a consequence of the growth capex deployed in the development of new renewal projects awarded both in Spain and abroad. Now, as anticipated, let us remind you that the company has put in place a new CapEx committee to approve all investments above a certain threshold to guarantee that all growth CapEx meets our golden rules and minimum return criteria. Net debt in the period has decreased to 13.6 billion euros. That's approximately 3.5 times net debt to EBITDA over the last 12 months, mainly as a consequence of the various disposals completed in the period, but also taking into consideration the distribution of dividends of approximately 1 billion euros in the third quarter. During the quarter, Naturgy has used part of its excess cash to amortize all of its bank-funded corporate debt, including almost 1.3 billion euros denominated in euros, as well as 390 million euros denominated in U.S. dollars. The company has also completed a 314 million euro bond repurchase at the parent level. Now, all in all, we are in the process of optimizing the financing allocated into each of the business units in order to increase the accountability and funding autonomy in the same currency where cash flows are originated, while at the same time increasing flexibility. And in this sense, during the first 9 months of the year, Chile has refinanced 193 million euros and replaced almost 80 million euros of intragroup debt, while Brazil has issued two project bonds of almost 60 million euros to back the Sertao and Sobral renewal projects. So with this said, I'll now hand over to John Ganuza, who will go over the details in the business units.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen. Good morning, everyone. Let's spend some time reviewing the operational performance of each of the four business units. Starting with gas and power, recurrent activity have experienced a sound recovery, reaching 1,003 million euro EBITDA in the 9 months of 2018. The results in this business are marked by three main trends. First, higher electricity prices. The pool price in Spain this third quarter has been 35% higher than the same period last year, mainly due to higher CO2 prices. Second, high LNG prices. In these past months of August and September, the level of prices in Asia in relative terms to oil price have been at all-time highs, mainly due to the greater demand in the summer months in Asia. Third and last, gas supply margins in the Spanish market continue to return to average levels after a dismal 2017. In the gas and power and service sales, these trends have had a mixed effect. The gas side has seen a positive improvement that has been further enhanced by the gas procurement contract agreement with Sonatrach, completed on September 2018, which is retroactive from the beginning of the year. On the power side, already starting on the second quarter, results have been negatively impacted by the significant exposure to fixed price contracts as the pool prices have steadily increased in these past 6 months. As we already said in the last call, the contracts are out of the money are being managed either by renegotiating them or by canceling them. This has allowed to substantially reduce the negative impact, although there are still parts of the contracts that are out of the money and will have an impact in our fourth quarter results. International LNG has continued to perform strongly relative to the previous year, mainly due to two different effects, sale volumes and prices. Sale volumes have been 50% greater than past year as new contracts have come online, and regarding high LNG prices in the third Q, although they have further boosted the results, it is important to say that the results do not fully reflect the high summer spot prices as a substantial part of our sales in the third quarter was already closed months in advance. In Europe power generation, the higher contribution from hydro generation and higher wholesale prices have led to a significant improvement in the results in the second quarter and especially in the third quarter. But since the month of July, there has been a temporary suspension of the capacity payments for availability. International power generation is continuing to benefit from the increase in installed capacity. the start of the Sobral and Sertão solar farms in Brazil from September 2017, and the capacity increases in the existing CCGTs in Mexico, producing more energy which can be sold in the market, benefiting of the high electricity prices in Mexico. All in all, strong performance of the gas and power business unit, which is expected to continue into the fourth quarter of the year. Moving on to our infrastructure business unit in EMEA, overall results have been stable and organic growth has allowed to cope with some negative effects and the FX evolution in particular. Gas networks in Spain has continued to grow supported by higher sales, although this has been partially offset by the lower gas meter remuneration, which has had a negative effect of approximately 30 million euros vis-à-vis the 9 months of 2017. Electricity networks in Spain has experienced positive performance supported by assets brought into the regulated asset base and important efforts in efficiencies. As for the EMPL, results have been driven by the 3% increase on transportation tariffs, although this has been countered by the negative evolution of exchange rates amounting to 70 million euros versus the previous year. In summary, resilient performance despite the negative effects from gas meter remuneration in Spain and the evolution of exchange rates. Moving on to our infrastructure business unit in South Latam. Overall, performance has been impacted by the FX and non-recurrent items, mainly extraordinary expenses in Chile. In Chile electricity, higher sales have been offset by ordinary tariff adjustments related to the economies of scale factors and FX. In Chile gas, performance has been affected mainly by lower demand in the residential sector, even though the connection points are 4% up. In Brazil gas, growth has been underpinned by higher margins across segments and higher sales to natural gas vehicles, although notably offset by a 40 million euro FX translation effect. Argentina benefited from the full application of the tariff review effective in April, which was of 42.5%, but has been negatively affected by FX and hyperinflation. The net effect has been the aforementioned pass-through of the gas procurement cost. Stephen has already explained it, but there are four things that must be seen about. First, from the gas perspective, this has been a non-issue, since the gas distribution companies have paid to the gas producer the gas price in the tariff and not the gas price that has been invoiced. Second, the gas distribution company has a debt with the gas producers, but the gas producers are not calling on this debt, as most of them have the government as a significant shareholder, and they are aware that according to the current regulation, gas distribution companies cannot be held liable for this debt. Third, the new tariffs that have been effective since the 1st of October 2018 fully recognize the cost of the gas at the exchange rate expected for the next 6 months, and therefore the impact of higher gas prices linked to FX should end here, unless there is another substantial devaluation of the Argentinian peso. Fourth, the tariff that is effective since the 1st of October 2018 does not fully reflect inflation that it should, and this increase has been 11% lower than it should have been. The government has committed to make up for this. In summary, performance in infrastructure South Latam has been affected by the FX translation effect as well as by non-recurrent items. Finally, moving into infrastructure in North Latam, results have been impacted by temporary factors and the negative evolution of FX. Mexico gas has been affected by lower sales and the cost associated to its ongoing commercial repositioning, as well as other temporary factors and effects. Panama has been affected by lower temperatures vis-a-vis last year on effects. Let me now hand it over to Stephen for conclusions.
All right, thank you, John. So to summarize the 9 months results, we've seen a robust return activity that has been countered by adverse effects. And secondly, as the first quarter completed since the startup of the new strategic plan, again, we highlight some of the achievements in the quarter from this plan. Remember, we've scaled down our corporate functions, and we're in the process of reallocating costs into BUs, business units. Number two, we have successfully renewed and extended the gas procurement contract with Sonatrach. We have launched a new efficiency plan and new OPEX and CAPEX committees, and we will start seeing the results specifically in 2019. We have also progressed on the capital structure optimization. The company is investing in renewables with investment criteria that meet our golden rules. And finally, we are on track to delivering the 1.3 minimum shareholder remuneration for 2018. So in conclusion, the new strategic plan is on track. It's been only 3 months. It seems like a little bit longer, but it's only been 3 months since we announced it. And we are fully confident that the pillars of our strategic plan and the various initiatives underway will start being more visible and delivering tangible results going forward. And with this, we'd like to open up the line for Q&A.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask any question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Any questions from the press should be directed to the Naturgy Communications team. Please be informed that in order to assure audio quality, we recommend that questions be asked from landlines. Thank you. We have some questions coming through. The first one is from the line of Javier Suarez from Mediobanc in Milan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Javier at Mediobanca. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on the cash flow statement on the page number 27 of the result presentation. On page number 27, there is a line that said dividend to minorities and other for 760 million euros. If you can give us the breakdown of this number and what is included there. Also, there is a line called dividends and other for 1,095 million euros. I guess that this is the ordinary dividend and also the share buyback. If you can also please give us the breakdown of this number, that would be helpful to unravel the cash flow that the company has generated and pay through the year. That is the first question. And the second question is on the page number 29 of the results. There is a column called recurrent in September 2018 numbers, when there is an upwards adjustment in the contribution of several business lines, including Argentina and the gas and power supply activities. If you can help us to understand why this number has been adjusted upwards and the rationale behind to show as a recurrent number the number that you are showing there. And the third and final question is if you can give us an update on the situation in Colombia with Electrocaribe and also in Epiet. Thank you.
Carlos Álvarez speaking. Referring to the first question, let me to clarify that this dividend to minorities accounts for around 420 million euros, and the rest relates to all the non-cash or non-cash or adjustments to the non-cash and cash operations, mainly in CAPEX and financial leases, etc., that are included in this order, okay? That means 420 million euros related to the dividends to minorities, mainly Netgea, GPG, and the minority stakes in Latin America activities, and the rest correspond to the non-cash, the difference between cash and payments and accounting on CAPEX and financial leases. This is the main difference. Referring to the other line that you asked, that is dividends and other, this is in page 27, this includes, as we have mentioned, the dividends paid and also the treasury shares that we have acquired during this period.
So in this sense, Javier, roughly around 950 million euros is the dividend, and the balance would be the shares repurchased. In terms of Electrocaribe, we'll go back to that one. In terms of Electrocaribe and Egypt, I'll start off with Egypt. As you know, we're pursuing a dual track here. Right now, we are still engaged in discussions with the Chilean authorities. One of the options is to sign a new supply contract for the Damietta plant. The other alternative is to, on the dual track, is to collect the cash settlements from Egypt. So we are advancing, but we have no news to report. When we do, we'll obviously make it public to the market. And in terms of Electrocaribe, we're not going to comment on press speculation on potential interested parties on that. Suffice it to say that we are continuing to pursue an arbitrage procedure to see our interests and the interests of our shareholders preserved in the country.
The second question that you mentioned, referring to the page 29, the adjustments included in recurrent by activity are the same that we have shown in page 5, that are included both in terms of this year or last year. The adjustments included are the same. That means that the consideration of non-recurrent are the detail is explained in page 5. That mainly are the adjustment, as you mentioned, of the Argentina, the pending pass-through, the Chile extraordinary expenses, and the restructuring costs that are splitted by activities.
On the gas and power supply activity, there is this adjustment that moves the EBITDA from 98 million euros to 159 million euros on the so-called recurrent contribution. How is that gap of 63 million euros explained?
It's mainly the first line of that we are showing in page 5, that is gas transfer and procurement adjustment, that relates to some retroactive impacts that we have to include as non-recurrent. Retroactive means not for this period. That refers to precedent periods.
Okay. The thing that you are saying here is that this adjustment, that the cost of procurement should be significantly lower going forward in the next quarter, including the next quarter of the year.
Repeat, this relates to precedent years. That means that the impact that we have this year as considered as recurrent, and this is the signal that you need to see ongoing.
Okay. On the restructuring cost on slide number 5, again, this 78 million euros, where these restructuring costs should be allocated, on what activities? On what division, excuse me.
They should be distributed across the board. I think that one important thing that we have to keep in mind is that most of these 78 million euros correspond to the third quarter. Moving forward in the fourth quarter, we should be seeing this figure going being higher. I think that a good idea would be that you should allocate it more or less uniformly across all of the business units that we have under the corporation.
On this point, just to clarify, we are accelerating the execution of our CapEx and OpEx efficiencies plan. We're moving faster than we anticipated. As a result of that, we're front-running or front-loading the capture costs earlier than expected. That means that the benefits will also be coming earlier than expected. We are very happy with the outcome and visibility of the plan.
Okay, we have the next question from the line of Harry Wyburd from Bank of America Merrill Lynch in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Two questions from me, please. Firstly, just on the gas business, I'm just trying to understand how much of the improvement in the third quarter is sustainable. Obviously you had a good spot prices in Asia, but also, you've had some structural impacts this year. You've had, or in this quarter, you had Sonatrach, you've had the LNG tankers. You suggested that the Asian impact might bleed into the fourth quarter as well. If we look to next year, and let's assume we don't have high spot Asian LNG prices next year for one reason or another, how much of the good performance in the third quarter is actually sustainable due to structural factors, and how much is due to spot factors? That's the first question. The second one on the restructuring or the debt restructuring, I didn't see any one-off costs on that. Am I correct to assume that there's no one-off cost to the bond restructure or the loan restructuring? What are the ongoing finance cost improvement from the bond restructuring specifically that we should expect in future quarters? Thank you.
Regarding the sustainability of the gas supply business, I think that we have to differentiate between what would be the international LNG and what would be gas and power service sales. I think that in the international LNG, I would like to stress that although the high prices that we've seen this third quarter are really high, we have not been fully benefited from these high prices because most of our volumes were sold in advance.
So, I mean, we benefited, but not as much as it should be if one looks at the spot prices that they have been in the market. So I think that for us, the message is we reaffirm ourselves in the commitment that we made for 2022 for the international energy business. But we do think that the outlook for the next year is positive, and we feel comfortable that we could give results more or less in line with the ones that we've seen this year. But again, I think that for us, the important thing is the long-term commitment that we made for 2022. So I think that we should not just extrapolate any further than 2019. And regarding the gas and power service sales, you know, we have to always keep in mind that we come from a 2017 that it was a really dismal year as far as gas sales in Spain is concerned. And what we've seen is a return to the average levels. On top of that, we're seeing starting to see some efficiencies. We're starting to see the renegotiation of the Sonatrach contract. And if we are not seeing even better results, it's due to the fact to the fixed-priced electricity contract that we've had this year. So I think that moving forward, we should be seeing an increase in the results in line with the commitment that we made for the gas and power services for 2022.
Referring to the second question, the restructuring, remember that the bond repurchase, the last one that we have done, the 314 million euros, was done in October. That means that the is out of the period that we are presenting now that ends at the end of September. That means that we will see the impacts of that. That means the cost to this report size and the savings on worse not in this September closing books. Okay.
Okay. Could you give us a sense, though? Are you able to tell us now what the one-off impact and ongoing impacts could be in fourth quarter and beyond?
Okay. More or less, there are six bonds. They are public, as you know, and more or less the interest, the coupon of these bonds were between 3.5 and 6%. That means that this is, and you see that we are amortizing this without new financing. That means that this is the saving more or less that we will have onwards.
Okay, thank you.
And just to add, I mean, other than that, I think that the main exercise carried out in the period is the amortization of all the bank debt at the corporate level.
Without cost.
Without a cost, of course.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Jose Ruiz from Macquarie in London. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. Just two. The first one relates to the depreciation restatement. I can see that the depreciation is flat compared to 9 months last year. So I was wondering, when are we going to start seeing depreciation going significantly down after the asset write-off? And the second question is if you could update us, as I understand you have already started the renegotiation of retail contracts, if you are managing to pass through to the final consumer higher cost of electricity. Thank you very much.
Yes, of course, after the impairment has performed at the end of June, we have the impact in depreciation of the less depreciation due to the less value of the assets. This is the first quarter that we have this positive impact that in generation it accounts around 30 million euros.
Regarding renegotiation of contracts, all of the new contracts that we're signing or that we are renegotiating existing ones, they are all being done with a positive contribution margin, so that we have no problem regarding that. Of course, there's always a bit more of pressure when the pool prices are being higher, but always all of the contracts are being signed with positive margin.
The next question comes from the line of Rui Vias from UBS in London. Please go ahead.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking my questions. I have a few questions. First one on Electric Caribe, and apologies for going back to that. But I was wondering if you could provide us some detail about the whole process. And the question is more on if there's any scenario where the Colombian government grants Electric Caribe to another player, and that you could be partially compensated from the proceeds that the government gets, or if the only way to get compensation now is through international court. So this is the question on Electrocaribe. Then second question on Sonatrach. Can you please just clarify if you have booked all the retroactive positives during Q3? Thank you.
Hi, Rui. On Electrocaribe, I mean, we are in arbitration right now, and we're not going to be commenting on the different potential alternatives nor speculating on them. Unfortunately, this is a process that takes a little bit of time, and it's in our best interest not to be speculating. Regarding Sonatrach, the answer to your question is yes. The positive impact has been booked.
Okay, thank you.
On a proportional basis from the beginning of the year.
The next question comes from the line of Manuel Palomo from Exane in Madrid. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions, Manuel Palomo at Exane. I have a few questions. One is a follow-up on one of Javier's questions at the beginning. Could you please share what is the dividend that is paid to Netia in these first 9 months? The second one is on the leases. Could you please remind us what will be the impact on the debt figure from the financial leases from the 1st of January 2019? And my third question is something that I could read in the page 23 in the handout this morning. I see that you here say adjusted that debt is 18.3 billion. Adjusted for hybrids and LNG tankers, financial and operating leases following rating agency criteria. Could you please help us to reconcile the gap between the 13.57 net debt figure that you report and this 18.3 billion figure that credit agencies are considering? Thank you very much.
I again for the last question. I think that the main adjustments that Standard & Poor's includes in their net debt refers to the hybrid that you mentioned and some preferred shares that we have a legacy from Unión Fenosa. The second adjustment is related to the leases. That this accounts more or less around 1.7 billion euros. That means leases. That means not only the vessels, we have the remaining operating leases that we have, like buildings, etc., etc. And the others are other minor adjustments that some part of the cash, or some other adjustments that the Standard & Poor's consider in this line. Okay. But the main impact that I mentioned. That are these three that I mentioned. Another data that maybe is important that it's part of your first question is in the figure that we are reporting as accounting, the financial debt is not according to IFRS 16. It's accounting debt before applying the IFRS 16 that, as you know, is we applied 1st January 2019. Okay.
Yeah.
If today we present according the IFRS 16 the net debt, the figure, the pro forma net debt will account around 15.2 billion euros.
One clarification, Carlos. This, I understand, is not including hybrids at all, right?
No, it's only financial leases and other leases that accounts around 1.6 billion. The basis is around 1.3, and the remaining things are 300 million euros. And this is in pro forma basis, is only including the leases, because this is IFRS 16. As you know, hybrid accounting is in discussion, but is not an issue for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And referring to your second question was related to the financial cost of the leases. I am looking for. I think it's around for these 3 months are around 19 million euros, something like that. But it's not included in the financial debt cost. It's in the other line. Okay, you see on page. I'm looking for the page. In page 8, we have cost of the net financial debt. This cost is not included in the cost of the vessels. The cost is included in the other line, in other financial expense and income. But it's included in this line. Referring okay. The net GR dividends, I have not that in front of me now. But it's a significant part of this 400, close to the half of this is net here, more or less.
Okay, thank you.
But by the way, on this particular point, just to highlight that the dividend distributed to NEDJA this year, it could be considered extraordinary in nature. So the level that you will see published when we give the full details is not one that can be extrapolated for 2019.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Carolina Doris from Morgan Stanley in London. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three. First one on dividend coverage. When I look at your recurring net income or recurring EPS, you are around 90 cents a share. You're paying 1.3 euros of dividends. Should we expect 100% payout on recurring net income, or it should be a little bit higher than that this year? Second question is on Argentina. If the government doesn't allow the pass-through in the fourth quarter, should we expect the same level of one-offs in the fourth quarter, or you already adjust for that in the third quarter? And the final question is, it's power and gas. You had an improvement year on year of 100 million euros. Can you give us a breakdown of how much of that is deterioration, if any, of electricity, and how much of that is improvement for gas? Thank you very much.
That was a good try, Carolina. We don't provide guidance on net profit. We haven't done that in the past. We're not going to do right now. The reality is, and we appreciate your question, the fact is that we're not looking at dividend coverage. We're not looking, certainly not looking at a payout ratio. As we've mentioned in the past, we'd like to take this opportunity that you're giving us to make sure that we explain it again. Our shareholder remuneration policy is cast in stone. It's independent of a payout ratio. It's independent of free cash flow. It is the commitment of the company from 2018 to 2022. We are on track to deliver that. As you know, the commitment is 1.3 euros per share against 2018 results and then a growth of 5% per annum thereafter. And that's as much as we're gonna say on that point. On Argentina, Abel, maybe you can...
No, just to clarify that, I think that John explained it earlier, that the impact of any gas price increase linked to the FX has already been taken into consideration in the last tariff review at the beginning of October, and as a result, the impact on that regard ends here, unless we continue to see additional depreciations that are unexpected. But as John explained earlier, the increase in gas prices has already been factored in the last tariff update on October, so the impact ends here.
Regarding your last question, I mean, we cannot disclose that information because we have a confidentiality agreement with Sonatrach regarding what's the impact that we had, and that has a significant impact in the results. So giving that breakdown, it would give some idea of what's the impact that we've had with Sonatrach. And we have to keep in mind that these negotiations, usually they are confidential, but in this case they are extra confidential because Sonatrach is still negotiating with some of their most important customers.
The next question comes from the line of Jorge Guimarães from Haitham in Lisbon. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I have three. Firstly, sorry to go back to the Sonatrach issues. I perfectly understand what you just mentioned about confidentiality, but it would be important to have an idea of what was the retroactive gain in this year to assess the evolution for next year. The second one is also related to the supply business. If it would be possible for you to provide us with the breakdown between electricity and gas for the 9 months EBIT of the gas, power and services. And finally, a question related to regulation in Spain. We had recently the proposal from CNMC about remuneration of electricity distribution networks. What is your view about it regarding any possible cross-read for gas distribution networks whose regulation is also be revised on 2021? Thank you very much.
Regarding Sonatrach, I'm sorry, but I must insist with the fact that it's confidential, but I want to stress one fact is what we're seeing is the results of the third Q, it's only the proportional part for the first 9 months. It's not that we're seeing a lump sum or anything like that. We're seeing the current element. The only thing that, since it's retroactive from the beginning of the year, what we're seeing is this quarter is the effect that is also should be allocated to the second and the first quarter that wasn't taken into account then. We cannot give a breakdown between electricity and gas supply. So, that's something that we cannot give. We can only say that we expect that the results for next year are going to be significantly better than the ones that we have this year, because we shouldn't be seeing the electricity effect from the fixed price contracts. And regarding the regulation in Spain, what the CNC has said, the report, at least my read on that, and when I read it, I didn't see that they did any mention in the fact that they thought that it was something that should be taken into account for gas. It was explicitly a report that talked about electricity distribution, and it talked exclusively about renewables, but they didn't make anything that hinted towards the fact that it would be applied to the gas distribution regulation.
Okay, the last question comes from the line of Fernando Lafuente in Atlanta in Madrid. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning to everyone. Two quick questions, please. The first one on the OPEX saving plan. If you could give us an indication of how many or what is the amount of savings that you have been able to get during these first 9 months, and what is the outlook both in terms of savings and implementation costs for the full year. And in this respect, not sure if you could give us an indication of where could you see the EBITDA in recurrent terms as of the end of the year, and which levels of net debt you expect to have by year end as well. Thank you so much.
Regarding efficiencies, I think that it's looking at our P&L results, there is a decrease in the OPEX. So I think that we're already starting to see an increase in the efficiencies, but we are not going to give any concrete figure. We would do that with the fourth quarter results. There we would give an exact figure of how much the efficiencies have been for this year. I can always say that we feel comfortable with the level of efficiencies that we are achieving for the time being, and I think that the figure that we would be giving is something that it would make the rest of the people also comfortable, but we are not going to give an exact figure until the fourth quarter, where we will see a breakdown of how it has been achieved. And the capture costs, again, I would like to say that the capture costs that we've seen in this third quarter, basically, they are for the third quarter. Therefore, we should be expecting that in the fourth quarter, the capture costs, they are going to be higher than the ones that we've seen until the time being. And I think that gives an idea of what Steven has said before, that we are accelerating efficiencies and we are trying to move them ahead as fast as possible.
Yeah. So if you take into account those non-recurring effects, such as the capture costs and others that we have explained in the 9 months, we feel very comfortable with the consensus expectation of 4.3 billion euro EBITDA for 2018 on a recurrent basis, again, excluding non-recurring items.
Great. Thank you.
We have another question in the queue. It's from the line of Antonella Biancessi from Citi in London. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Just a few follow-up. The first one is, can you clarify which are the dividend going to minorities on a structural basis, in the medium term? And a second question is on the Argentina recovery. So is it correct to assume that you will recover the entire loss that you had in the 9 months in Q4, or we should wait until the middle of 2019? And finally, on the full year net debt, if you can give us a guidance of how you think the net debt, the reported net debt will set by the end of the year. Thank you.
Carlos Álvarez, Sorry, I moved to English. Referring to the net debt at the end of the year, more or less, I'm seeing a net debt, a similar level that we have at the end of September, more or less.
Regarding dividends to minorities, I'm sorry, Antonella, but we cannot disclose the dividend flow of different subsidiaries, among other things, because these are sort of issues that need to be discussed at the board levels of the different companies with the different partners, and it's not our position to comment on these going forward. Suffice it to say that, again, the numbers that we have seen in these 9 months include extraordinary dividends, if we can call them that way, so they should not be extrapolated moving forward.
I mean, regarding Argentina, we expect to have a solution as soon as possible, but as Stephen has said, for the time being, and until we have something that is firm, we're going to handle it on a prudent and transparent way. But I think one thing that must be clear is that the Argentina is a non-cash issue. It's a debt that we currently have with the gas producers, and right now the debate is whether how that debt is going to be allocated. In that sense, once the situation is resolved, and depending how it's resolved for us, the solution should be instantaneous. So apparently the solution that is on the table on behalf of the Argentinian government is that the debt, it would be assumed by the Argentinian government, and that would mean that that solution could be solved for us instantaneously if that was the final solution that would take place.
Thank you very much.
The last question in the queue comes from the line of Javier Garrido from JP Morgan in Madrid. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and apologies for a late follow-up. But just to clarify what Stephen has just stated about the EBITDA for 2018, did I understand correctly when you said you are comfortable with 4.3 billion euros excluding one-offs, excluding all the non-recurrent items? Is that what you meant? Thank you.
Yes, that's exactly what we meant. 4.3 billion euros excluding non-recurrent items. We feel very happy and comfortable with that number.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening to our 9 months results conference call. As always, the capital markets team remains available for any further questions you may have. And let me perhaps remind you that we have put together for your convenience a new XLS, which is available on the website, where you should have all the financial data of the results on the reported, recurrent, by quarter, and cumulative available for your reference. All right? Thank you very much, and speak soon.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your line.